In an ever-changing world, Conscious Co-Creation Productions presents A Voice of Truth, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you have never felt before. Life Changes with Filippo. And now, your host, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. Oh, this is so exciting. We've got a great guest today, and I can't wait to introduce her to all of you. And she's so beautiful, of course, inside and out. But I told her, I said, is it okay if I say how beautiful you are? Just, you have to go to the website at lifechangesfilippo.com. And it's funny because we deal with so many beautiful people, inside and out, like we say. But it was so interesting when somebody sent me, I think it was Mark or John, sent me the picture and said, this is our guest. And I know she works with so many celebrities. And I said, oh, you mean this is one of the celebrities she works with? No. This is our guest. It's like, whoa. And we were so excited we were going to get to have her in the studio, and something came up. So she's with us on the air, and we'll have her in just a moment. But, you know, this show is sparking so many conversations. It is getting so exciting, more and more and more exciting. As you know, I've started some of the shows with an email or a letter from one of our fans listening in, or even our friends that are emailing saying, hey, great show. By the way, you know, I do this, or I've always believed this, or what do you think about that? And of all people, not of all people, my sister is so connected, and she's been with me all of her life since I'm older, and most of mine. And it's just been interesting that she brought up a conversation just the other day, and I thought, I have to talk about this on the show, and I can't wait to. It brought me back to my making the decision to be doing this pretty much, to go out and sing songs that were part of me and be on radio and talk about things that were important to me. I remember back in the day when I used to work for IBM. Yeah, International Business Machines, where I used to wear a two-piece or a three-piece suit with a red tie or a yellow power tie and a white shirt, very short hair. And I used to go to conferences throughout the country and classes and all kinds of things. And on occasion, one of my best friends who also worked at IBM at the time, we'd be needing to go to the same conferences. And IBM at the time made us share rooms. So invariably, I'd end up sharing a room with Brian, is his name, whenever he was on the same trip as I was. And one particular trip, we were in Seattle. I remember it as if it were yesterday. And we were sitting in our hotel room after having classes and dinner and all that. And we had gotten a bunch of beers and put ice in the sink and filled it up with beers and kept them cold while he and I sat overlooking the Puget Sound in Seattle, asking each other the deepest questions we could think of. And the question that baffled us the most was, what would you do if money were no object? Well, now it's kind of easy to answer that, and we've by now heard this over and over again. But this was many, many years ago when, in, at least in my generation, people were just starting to wake up or just starting to think about these things. And so we had to struggle with defining what does it mean, money is no object. That was already a hurdle in itself. And this went on for hours, way into the night, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. We actually did not get to sleep until 7, and our class started at 8. So we didn't get much sleep, but we had to come up with an answer. We wouldn't let each other off the hook. And the next night, we were at it again, and we went through all these scenarios. Interestingly enough, he said that he would travel the world and take people on tours of the world, seeing beautiful places that he liked. And I said, well, that, you know, you don't have to work, so you don't have to take anybody with you. You just go and do it yourself. And he says, well, what fun would that be? And so the same thing went round and round when he said to me, what would you do? And I said, I would sing. I would entertain. I would speak. I would interview. And he says, well, that sounds like work. You don't have to work. And I said, that's not work. And he says, you could pay somebody to do it for you, talk about the things you want to talk about. And I'd say, when I finally came to, I said, no, this is my experience on the planet. I want to do that. I want to sing. And here we were both at IBM working with computers and managing people, and it was kind of interesting. Well, wouldn't you know that when we both came to that, he left IBM. Actually, within a week, he started a travel agency. And he left IBM about a couple months later. It took me about a year, but I left. He went to go start his agency full bore, and I left to sing. And so the interesting things you can come to with certain questions. Well, my sister, who has been very excited about our show and about the live events that we're doing and how this show is helping change people's perspective, and she has heard us say how so-and-so said, I'm so happy that this show's on the air, or this show makes me happy, or when I don't feel good, or if I'm down, I know I could listen to one of your episodes and I'm going to feel happy. So this happy thing has come up so many times. She said it came to her in a dream that a good question to be asking these days is, what would you do if you were happy? Or the way she put it, what would you do if everybody were happy? And I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. You don't have to do anything to lift anybody's spirit. You don't have to buy anything to be happy. You don't have to listen to anything or watch anything. Everybody's just happy. So what would be my role? And without thinking about it, I said, I would do exactly what I'm doing. And so she was quiet for a little bit, and then I thought, is that right? Would I? I mean, does what I'm doing make sense in a world where everybody's happy, including myself? And I thought about it, and then I said I'd get back to her, and I haven't gotten back to her yet, and here we are on the show, and I thought, I've got to talk about it on the show, because this is a wonderful way to start a conversation. And the more I thought about it, I thought, yeah, this is exactly what I'd be doing, because I would imagine there are different levels of happiness, and I can't say that I'm happy. I don't know that I could ever be happy. I don't know that this world is made in a way for us to be happy in this experience three-dimensionally on this planet. I think it's where we're headed, but that might be in another dimension. So I would be doing this, and I'm going to think about it some more, but I'd like to put it out there for all to send me the emails as so many of you are good at, and tell me what you think. But I think there are different levels of happiness. I think I could enjoy and people could enjoy the next level of whatever that is. You're happy, so let's get together and I'll sing, and we'll sing a happy song or it's just interesting. So either that, or I have to fly my sister and I up to Seattle and sit with beers in the sink of the hotel room and look at the Puget Sound and stay up all night until we come to the definitive answer, because we certainly did right, Brian and I, coming to the answers that we did for both of us in our lives up until this point. This might be a new time to look at things. And questions certainly lead us in good directions when we stop and think about them. And this is so perfect, because our next guest has a lead-in with so many of your clients, and she used to be on radio herself, and when she used to have call-ins, and she used to ask the call-ins right away, what's your stress? That was the question. What's your stress? And so that is another one of these questions, and so we're going to talk to Denise Martel about stress. She is a stress manager, a fitness expert, and a life coach who's worked with Hollywood's biggest names and business superstars. She is the author of What's Your Stress? It's a book that we'll talk about in a little bit. She will help us change the way we look at stress and help us combat it from the inside out, from soul stresses to stress to go. Now, when I say she's worked with the biggest names and the biggest stars in business, I mean the biggest names and the biggest stars in business. And we can't go through all of them, and I won't even touch the business ones. The stars are fascinating enough, Barbara Streisand, Madonna, Cindy Crawford, Heather Locklear, Dan Aykroyd, Rod Stewart, Robert Downey Jr. I mean, it's a who's who. Michael Bolton, Paris Hilton. I mean, it goes on and on. Michael Moore, members of the British royal family, Charlie Sheen. It's just amazing. She's an amazing person, and I'd like to welcome Denise Martell to the show. Hi, Denise.
Hello, Filippo. Thank you for the introduction. That was great.
I'm flattered.
Thank you.
So, you know, you heard me talking about these questions that get us to ponder and hopefully take us to another level. What's your stress take us to another level?
Well, with stress, like we're speaking about, is everyone has it. Everyone. And it's just different levels and different types. The thing that I found the most is so many people would say to me, how do you listen to them talk about their problems when they're talking about this and that and they're not real problems? And I said, no, every problem is relative to the person. So for me, everyone has different types of stress, and it can affect a person who's going through a stress that we would think is not really stressful. It could be as stressful to them as someone who's really going through it. And so what I always start with is the old saying, body, mind, and soul, has always been true to me in the sense of the order of that. And with stress, the first thing I tell people, because on radio we don't have a lot of time, obviously, it's not as though I can spend hours with someone, and neither can you. It's sort of you're trying to get out as much as you can to help people in such a short period of time. And so what I always start with any client, no matter who they are, is with their health and wellness. And I have another phrase. I also have another phrase that I like to share called health and wealthness, which is part two of this. But the health and wellness is the most important part to start handling stress. So what I normally do is I do an initial consultation, and I'd like to tell all the listeners out there to do your own consultation in the sense of you've got to be healthy. Your body has got to be looked after. Your body is your temple, basically, and you have to make sure that you're well-nourished, you have exercise, you're hydrated, and you have supplements. In this world, the way the food is, we're not eating out of organic gardens that we're picking out of our backyard, unfortunately, and basically what happens is we think we're eating, even when we think that we're eating so healthy, we're not, in the sense of we still need to supplement. So not only do you need to eat healthy, exercise, drink water, but you need to supplement yourself. And that's normally where I start with each client, is I start with the supplements and the diet and all that, because I want to work there first, because it's body, mind, soul. So first we bring the body up to its maximum. Then after we've got the body functioning to the best it can be, then the stress changes. And I guarantee you, regardless of the problem, the stress will change once you've nourished, hydrated, and looked after your body. So if someone will come to me with an initial problem, you know, I'd like to use divorce as an example, because divorce seems to be one of the most painful, anxiety, stress-causing on every level. It just covers the whole gamut as far as what people go through. And so they'll come and you know, they'll say, oh my God, I'm going through this divorce and this and this and this. Like, okay, wait. What are you eating? What supplements are you taking? No, really. Because once I get them nourished and hydrated and exercised and looked after, then the next thing is, okay, now let's work with your mind and let's try to calm down and let's try to make a plan. Planning's so important, like to have a list. I don't know if you write things out to manifest things,
yes.
But it's so important to write out what you want to manifest.
I'm starting to do that, but let's go back a minute. Tell you right now, if you said to me, what are you eating? When I'm being stressed and I'm coming to you saying, Denise, I need your help. Help me as stress manager. I'd say, what am I eating? I'm eating everything in sight because I'm stressed, okay?
Exactly.
And sleep? I can't sleep. I'm stressed. That's why I'm calling you.
Exactly. And part of the reason why you can't sleep is because you're eating everything in sight and we're not supplementing. You need chamomile. You need all these different things.
And I'm not exercising because I don't have time to go exercise because I'm stressed because I'm doing this.
But you know what? There is a way to find the time to exercise. I tell people if you have to be on the phone and walk around the block 3 times fast. I mean, if you have to eat your breakfast moving. It's like sort of like you have to find time. You have to, because basically, and if you can't, that's the other thing about this, the stress that I feel, the people I like to reach are the people that don't have time. The people that are not so, actually, I'd almost want to say the people that are not as enlightened in the sense of they're not as enlightened, and so therefore they're just, you know, running around in the mess of everything, and they're not looking after themselves. And so it's those people that I'd like to help more, because they, that's like I said, if you're doing all that, let's say you're not sleeping, you're eating everything because you're so stressed out, you're not exercising, you're not doing this, you have to find a way to look after your body, because I can guarantee you, if you came to me and you're in a state, and we did 1 week where I was with you, or I was coaching you on the phone, or you had a sponsor type of person making sure that just for 1 week you looked after yourself, by the second day of eating well and looking after yourself, the problem that you're dealing with that's stressing you is going to get smaller. I'm not going to say it's going to go away by any means, but it's going to get smaller and the edge is going to come off of it. Because
it'll
I don't
look
know if
different
you
know, and feel different.
It'll look different. And that's why there's no point in me dealing with the stress directly before we've worked with the body a bit, because otherwise, when I finish with the body, it's going to be different anyway, so I'm sort of wasting our time, because I'm going to start with this big, huge explosion of a problem, and then we're going to work with the body, and then the problem's different. It's almost shifted. It almost becomes a different problem then. You know what I mean? Because,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if you know, but literally the body releases something called cortisol when you're stressed out. It's a chemical.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, when you're stressed out, you're releasing this into your body. And so it's really hard for me to combat a physical release in the body of the stress until we can combat that and stop that and then go into the mental part, the mind part. Because when we're dealing with the physical aspects of stress that are literal, like I said, your body releases something called cortisol, then it's too hard to get everything else straightened away. So once we get the body, then we go to the mind. And then the last thing is soul, which to me is spirituality, higher power, and tapping into something to help you draw your strength and faith from.
Yeah, actually, I'd like to get into that, but now it's all starting to make sense, because you come to us thanks to one of our producers, Mark Skelton, and I laugh every time I say his name because he's a funny guy.
He is very funny. He should have his own comedy hour, which I'm sure will happen soon.
We're working on that.
Good.
We're working on that. As a matter of fact, during our live events, he along with the other of us producers, have a platform where we talk about spirituality and these kinds of issues, but in a very comical way, just the way we are amongst each other. So it's a lot of fun. So it's starting to make sense to me how all this fits in, because you know, the first thing I saw, stress management coach, or stress manager, and I thought, wow, that's going to be really interesting. And then I see, oh, well, she does health and wellness and life coaching and Pilates and diet coaching and nutrition coaching, and I'm thinking, and consulting, what does that have to do with stress management? And you just said that's everything, almost.
I mean, that's why I had to get so many certifications in order to do with the stress, you know, because it does, it's a whole package. And that's why I just really try to encourage people to work body, mind, soul in that order.
Okay, so now you, and before we get into the soul part, you also mentioned how people say, how can you deal with people like that when their stresses are not real? You know, it's interesting, when I first left IBM, as I was talking about IBM at the beginning, and I left IBM and I started singing. And I started singing at clubs and women's clubs and organizations and that kind of thing. And I was living with my brother at the time, and he would come home and he would say, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I'm so stressed out." And he'd say, "Oh, what's the problem? You don't know which song you're going to sing?" And I, you know, he was trying to make me laugh, but it did kind of, it's interesting, because it's like, well, you don't understand, either you don't understand or you're trying to put it in perspective for me. Yeah, I am dealing with happy things. I mean, it's singing, but there are other things that come into play. So the celebrities, yeah, people think, well, if I had their money, I wouldn't have any problems. And it's not the case. Or if I had their fame,
not the case.
Not the case
at all. And actually, I wanted to mention something about your singing. The reason why your singing could bring about stress, there's two things. Obviously, monetarily, you know, if it was a slow week or whatever. But aside from that, is it's your passion. And one of the biggest things that cause stress to me are love, money, time, and it's really, when you're passionate about something, it's the same as being passionate about a person. And so if something's not going well, or that note, you hit some flat or sharp notes, not saying that you would, but if you did, or if, let's say, the audience wasn't receptive, it could really stress you out, because it's your passion. And so That's why when someone's passionate about something, that can cause a lot of stress, and that's where a lot of the times the celebrities are so passionate about their careers, if anything's just going a little bit off, they've got, you know, these homes and these beautiful houses and staff, but guess what? Their passion is what they do. And speaking of what you spoke about earlier, which is do what you love,
right?
Quincy Jones told me, and I never forgot it when I first met him when I came out here from Canada, he said, do what you would do for no money. That's it. And so what you were saying before is what you did is you followed the exact true path, and that's what, if people could somehow figure out what you did, regardless of where they are, what they're doing, if you do what you're absolutely passionate about and what makes your heart sing, that will lead you to the happiness, and usually it'll somehow, you'll survive monetarily. You know, and then if you have to get it, you know, some people, oh, yeah, but I have to wait tables every night. Well, you know what? At some point, you probably won't have to, but at least during the day, you're in acting class or you're doing this or you're on stage at a little theater somewhere or whatever you need to do, because that is what I call nourishing your soul. When you're singing, Filippo, that's for your soul.
Oh,
and
sure.
That's like the third leg of it. Like I said, it's spirituality. It could be religion. It could be this, but it's also finding what, you know, what to you makes you happy.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So I don't want to mention names, but I want to say Barbara Streisand calls you and says, I'm freaked out about this.
Calls me anyway, so they're a rock star, you can say, right? A rock star, we can say.
Well, actually, she's the wrong one to use, because we all know that she's so organized. I mean, she's
amazing.
I know that, yeah, she's amazing. So,
I would say that she's such an amazing human being, and she's so intelligent and talented that alone can cause stress when you're that intense. Do you know what I mean? Because when you're that intelligent, it's just like Robert Downey Jr. I think he's a genius IQ actually on paper. And that can cause problems because
people don't understand you, for one.
You're functioning at a whole different level. And it's really hard because you're almost, you know, at this level by yourself. I'm not even saying it's a higher level than somebody else. I'm just saying it's a different level, and you're almost there by yourself. And that, it's very intense, you know.
Yeah.
So everybody has different levels. So I have, you know, rock stars that call me and say, this is going on, and this is going on, and this is going on, you know, and it's real. And also, by the way, these people at these really intense levels of career success are overworked.
Oh, yeah.
So they're loving what they're doing, but, you know, that's the other balance that they need to find, and it's very hard for them to let go. What everybody needs to find is you're overworking at something you love, because this is, again, another level now, you know, and you have to be able to let go of certain aspects and certain amount millions for this one concert date or whatever, and get back to where you're happy with it, because you can go over the top where you're doing what you love and you're so happy, and then you get overworked and you do too much and you're exhausted and you're drained and you're burned out.
Because so much is expected of you, too,
yes.
And there are so many demands. Okay, so a rock star calls you, and they've been maybe smoking something or taking something, and they've been not sleeping, and they've been, you know, and they're stressed about the concert tour coming up. And the first thing you tell them, you say, okay, have a raw carrot. Call me in the morning.
not quite that literal, you know. I don't think that they'd listen to me that way.
Okay,
walk around the block.
You know.
Exactly. Walk around the block, talk on the phone, eat your carrot.
Okay.
Right? I don't think so. No, I would have to show up at their place, this sounds ridiculous, but look in their fridge, look in their cupboards, and the first thing, here's the easiest thing to do. This is, again, what I want the listeners to think about. Go to Whole Foods, go to Vitamin Barn, go to your local store that has vitamins, that has a section, and ask someone, here's my deal. Here's how I feel. And usually the people that work on those floors have some experience, and you can sort of, or you can even do your own research, because B vitamins are the first thing that attacks stress. I don't know if you know that, the B vitamins.
Mm-mm. No.
You know that?
No, and I'm going to go have some as soon as we're done here.
Exactly. But literally, if you just take B vitamins, that's going to take the edge off. So that's why, when I go to a client's home, I first look at everything they've got, and the easiest thing, look, it's hard to get someone to eat a raw carrot, okay? It's not that easy. And it's hard to get them to take their protein shakes and their supplements. But you know what you can do? You can get them to pop a couple vitamins a day. Go, okay, look, this is going to take you 1 minute, and if you have to pop it with whatever you're drinking, then do it. But at least, again, I start with the supplement. So everybody should really, okay, for instance, with vitamin C, oh, I have orange juice every morning, right?
Okay.
And basically it would take, I think, to get the 1,000 milligrams that you need a day, I think it takes, I actually have the literal, you'd have to eat, I think, like 30 oranges, 15 kiwis, and 4 red peppers or something, just
wow,
to get the one, you know. So basically, just your vitamin C, if that's low, you're going to be off. If your B vitamins are low, if your E, your K, your D, if you're not getting enough sun, calcium, magnesium, I mean, you really have to go. And if you don't have time to put a packet together, then take a multivitamin. And just start there with water. Water does not take time. You can do it while you're driving. You can do it, you know, when you're sitting, when you're working. You've got to drink water. You've got to hydrate. And you've got to take your supplements. That's the first thing.
This sounds so important. So
it is. So I can't drive it home enough how important that is, because, again, we're not going to get to work hands-on or talk to these people that are listening that have the stress. So we can't say, okay, you know, your mother did this or your boyfriend did this. We can't hash that part out. So at least we can say, look after yourself, and then it's going to feel a little bit better. Then you go from, you know, with the exercise, the food, the nutrition, the hydration, then you go into your mind. And, you know, people, a lot of people cannot afford psychologists. They can't afford all this. And so you have to do your homework. You have to start to read self-help books, and you have to start, you know, I have to preach Wayne Dyer. I don't know if you're familiar
uh-huh.
with him or not.
Oh, yeah.
Wayne Dyer, to me, is probably one of the best gurus out there for this. He really knows how to break it down. And he's got so many great books and so many great... that's another thing, is people say, I don't have time to read. Do you drive a car? Yes. Do you have an iPod? Do you have a Walkman? What do you have? Because all the books, as we know, are on CD. They're on iTunes, right?
Right, right.
So where's the excuse that you can't listen to it while you're driving, while you're stuck in traffic, you know?
Right,
because
you're stressed.
Exactly, you want to listen to your rock music, whatever, because it takes you away. But you know what? It's only taking you away for the drive home. It's not helping you once you get home.
Right, and I'm listening to you. I'm sure others are too. So, okay, so I'm going to eat
discipline.
By...
And let me use the word discipline, though,
exactly.
Filippo, because all of this doesn't matter. You have to have discipline. You have to. You have to have it. You have to find it. Everybody has the ability to be disciplined, and so you have to find it within yourself to take hold of, you know, grab the bull by the horns, as they say, of yourself, and start, you know, implementing the things that you need to do to straighten your life out and to get out of the rut.
Well, and these are things that everybody can do. So the first thing is, of course, you know, get the sleep and vitamins and eating right and all of that and water. And then you start looking at your mind and kind of where you are, stress, why, what's causing that stress, what is, you know, you mm-hmm. what are you thinking about it, what have you. And then, you know, equally as important is this thing you talk about, soul or passion or God mm-hmm. or higher. Talk to mm-hmm. me about that.
Okay, well, the soul stress, I try to help everyone, if they're not religious or spiritual, to at least be metaphysical and find their God, whether it be within themselves or out of themselves, wherever they want to tap into. But I would find it impossible to have gone through what I've gone through in my lifetime without a God. So if it's Allah, Buddha, within yourself, again, if you're going to go deep within and really tap in to quantum physics and everything and be scientific about it, whatever it's going to be, you have to get a hold of something else to draw your strength from and your faith. And I know that a lot of the times, it was funny, a lot of the times in different religions or spiritualities, if you do a test, this sounds a bit odd, but if you do a test and you say, oh, I don't believe in that, or I don't believe in this, or I just don't believe that, if you actually try it once, a lot of the times the universe will actually give it to you if it's the right faith for you or if it's the right higher power. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if people say, oh, I don't, you know, I just don't, it's like, well, you know what, why don't you try a few things out and put out there in that faith that that's what you need and what you want, and if it doesn't come back to you, then try something else. And I'm just trying to deal with people that believe in nothing, because I think that that really gets people into trouble.
You know, actually, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I used to have a theory. I the kids that believed in Santa Claus, there was a time where that might have helped for some reason. And like we used to believe as babies and kids, little kids, that our parents could solve any problem that there was. And that was a good thing because the world was such a big place,
yes,
and there's so much newness that if we knew that our parents had no clue,
it would be frightening.
It would
exactly
be really frightening.
It would be frightening. And then the most frightening thing is when you realize they actually didn't have any clue.
Right.
And then you're going, oh, my God, now what do I do?
Exactly. But hopefully at that point, then you're able to figure it out for yourself. The sad part is when people don't figure that out. But at that point, you're looking to something else, and that's where, you know, what you're saying comes in. It could be your higher self, your God, you know, inside or outside or something. So you're saying it, maybe even if you just got to pretend for now, believe that there's something outside of you or inside of you or there's something bigger than just you that can deal with this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Together
with
you.
But, you know, also, if they cannot get there, because that's not for everybody, right? If you cannot get there, I know where they can get is to what we were talking about earlier again, which is to their passion. Everyone has something that they're passionate about.
Oh, yeah.
I've had people sit in front of me and go, well, I'm not passionate about anything. What? You're not? Wait a minute. Just a minute. And then you have to basically go through their life from childhood. You have to sometimes go back to their first memory.
Wow.
And tap into something as a child that made them happy and then bring it forward and say, well, wouldn't that make you happy now in a sense of along the same lines of that type of thing, you know?
Right.
Now, I'm echoing right now. I just started echoing. Do you know why?
Yeah, I don't know why, but that's happened before and it hasn't translated over the air, so we should be okay.
Okay. It's kind of hard because I'm hearing myself twice.
So, now let me ask you this because... you have gone through your own major stresses, and first of all, I'd like to talk about, if you wouldn't mind, what those are, and then if you used that, or if you already had these techniques and ideas and used them for your stresses. So take, for example, your physical body, because you use your physical body a lot, and yet you have this S thing going on with your back.
I have a chronic scoliosis. And so my spine is literally the letter S.
Yeah.
And that's been it's been since, I guess I was 14, was when they discovered it. They wanted to do a back brace, but I was riding horses. Basically, that's my passion. One of my hugest passions is dressage, riding horses.
Mm.
And it was most of my life until I was about 35. And they said, if you put the back brace on, you can't ride anymore. And I was 14, and I was showing, and I said, I'm not doing it. And so anyways, my back went where it went, which where they said it was going to go. And that has been one of my biggest challenges because I have to constantly combat chronic pain, and it should limit me, and I'll say should. I should be completely limited with my spine. In fact, Elizabeth Taylor has the same spine as me. She's in a wheelchair.
Mm.
And a lot of the difference between her and I, well, she's older than me, but she did not look after her body.
Right.
And she actually cannot do the surgery now because she didn't take calcium and she didn't keep her bones strong.
Mm.
And so she has the osteoporosis and they can't actually do the surgery now, and that's why she's in the wheelchair.
Wow.
So my back has been, definitely one of my biggest challenges because it has to be maintained constantly.
And then
what?
Yeah, go on.
No, I was just going to say, it's constantly been something that I have to deal with on top of everything else. But that's why, with the fitness, why it was such a success story, because I was able to be, actually, most of my life a professional athlete with my back.
Right, and I was going to get at that. And not only did you have that, but then you discover, a little over a year ago or 2 years ago, that you're pregnant.
Yes, I was told that. This is why I kind of want to put this out there, too. You know, in the chapter Stress to Go,
uh-huh,
it says, when others dish it out, protecting yourself from toxic people and environments. I just want to talk about that, the pregnancy, really fast, because if you listen to other people, even experts, you can really get yourself into a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, since I was 19, the lower curvature on my back had tilted my reproductive organs. So they told me you can never conceive, and you could, even if you were to conceive artificially, you cannot carry a baby. your back won't do it. And so I took it as God's will that I'm not to bear a child, and that's fine, and that's what it is. And I actually, from 19 years old, my mind was programmed that I will not bear children, and it was okay with me, and I had a different life path, and I was on it. Mm. And at 44 years old, I thought I was going to a premenopause or a perimenopause, and I went to the doctor. I said, I need a blood test. They said, no, you have to at least urinate in this cup. And I said, no, I'm not pregnant. Trust me, since I was 19, believe me, I'm not. And they said, no, you have to. And I did. And they said, this is a viable pregnancy. I said, it's impossible. They said, it's not. So I didn't believe it. So I went for an ultrasound, literally, when the little guy was 5 weeks old. And there was no heartbeat, and it was a dust speck. And they said, look, this is really, you know, I said, I just couldn't believe it. I was looking at it. And they said, but you know what? It's just a dust speck right now. There's no heartbeat. It hasn't come in yet. And the back surgeons and the back doctors and the gynecologists and the obstetricians, everyone saw my x-rays, and they said, you have to abort this baby right now.
Wow.
Because you're going to be paralyzed. You're going to be, you know, basically you'll be in, they said, on bed rest from 4 months of pregnancy up. And my lifestyle, I couldn't afford to do that. And I don't have medical insurance because of my spine and all these things. And so they said, you have to do this for your own health. This is, look at this as though this is to save your life, basically. You've got to let it go.
And now this came with all of its stresses to you.
Could you imagine? That was honestly the biggest time of stress in my life, because I thought I was on this certain path to do what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, there's a child here that's coming through, that wants to come through, and it could finish me off.
Right.
And so I'm just going, wait a minute, I thought I was going to help all these people. So I had to really let go and let God, in the sense of what I wanted to say too is the psychologist had told me years ago, Dr. Brasha, this wonderful psychologist, said to me, life is something that happens when you're making plans for something else. And it can be that way. It really can. You can be manifesting, and everything that you're doing, you're manifesting everything, and all of a sudden you get the turn that I got. Mm. And you're going, wait a minute, you know, this is, I'm so unprepared, and this, and this, and this, and this, and wait, and how am I going to, you know, with the medical here in this country, it's so different from Canada. In Canada, it would be fine. You know, here it's, you know, I guess $40,000 to have a baby, you know, it's basically if you don't have insurance and things like that. And so it was just one thing after the next. And again, next thing you know, I'm going to be bedridden, and then what am I going to do? So they told me, well, when I told them I was not going to terminate, they said, okay, well, you know, we can only do so much to help you and this and that. And long story short, they said, you know, you'll probably have a 45% chance, your age 44% chance of a miscarriage within the first trimester. So every day they thought, you know, I was going to have a miscarriage, and I didn't. So in the fourth month, I thought, wow, this is amazing, because nothing happened. And I went about my life. I didn't change anything as far as I didn't exercise less, or I didn't do anything different. And then they told me, as things were going, everything was fine. Oh, my gosh, everything's fine. I was exercising every day. I was working.
So you were practicing what you were preaching, what you preach.
Yes, but I did. The father of Ocean Alexander would tell you that I was stressed out. I'm not going to lie, but my survival, my survival stress meal, I would say, kicked in. Like, the bottom line of what I do was what got me through every day of it. Then they told me, you're going to have an emergency, in a C-section, because you can't possibly deliver naturally with your back like this. And I said, I don't want to do that if I don't have to. Please let me try. No, this, they made me pay in advance for the cesarean section. I said, this is crazy. I want to try to do this naturally. And that's why whatever the doctors tell you, whatever people are telling you, whatever things are coming through, if it's negative and you don't believe it, you can probably overcome it, a lot of it. And so, long story short, I went in, I worked until 11:30 p.m. the night before I gave birth. Then I came home and worked out for an hour and a half, intensely, doing Pilates. Then the next morning we went to the hospital, gave birth, 12:39 p.m. on a Thursday, March the 13th, came home Friday, and I was at work teaching Pilates Sunday at 2 o'clock, 48 hours later.
Wow.
So everything they said. In fact, my client, my Sunday client, it was hysterical, because I left her. I was 9 months pregnant. She's like, well, I don't know if I'll see you next week. I said, neither do I. God knows what's going to happen. And
geez.
I showed up the next Sunday. I'm like, hey. And she's like, your belly's gone.
We're talking to Denise Martel, stress manager, and she's stressing me out just telling me about this experience. And you said to me, can you imagine? Honestly, no. I mean, I'm not a woman, so I'm not even going to pretend to say I know what that's like, because I have no idea. It's on a whole nother level. But then, you know, then you add all these other elements. Thank God you were a stress manager.
Everything
and
was
into
fine.
Into health and fitness.
Exactly. You see, if I had not have looked after my body, I'm telling you, this would be a different story, I'm telling you. Yeah. And people think they can get away with it when they're young and this and that, but it all adds up. And there's something else I want to say, too, because I don't know how much time we have to the listeners, and that it's very important. I'm very, very pro massage therapy. Because people don't realize, also, this is so important for stress, that if you're just touched 20 times in a day or hugged, it raises your self-esteem 50%.
A hug, even.
A hug. And so, again, we're talking about quick fix for stress, right? We're not things that are quick fixes. And so, basically, people, well, I can't afford massage therapy. Okay, then can you trade with a friend, or can you, you know, at least, like, try to get a little bit more physical contact with people? I think that's why when you go to old folks' homes and you see the old people rotting away, basically, and it's so sad, it's because they stopped being touched. So I think that people also need to also be touched. And so if you have to go get a shiatsu massage, if you have to have trade with a friend, or just even do a foot rub. I mean, you can go to your girlfriend's house and say, let's trade, you know, foot rub or whatever. It helps. And also, if you have someone who's just absolutely upset about something, and you just maybe work on their feet a little bit, work on their scalp, even rub their hands, or even, you know, sort of scratch their back, whatever it is, it's going to change again.
Wow.
You know, and so I'm just trying to, like, I'm trying to cover as much as I can in the short period of time that we have here, to try to nurture the body, and that also includes touch.
You know, I'm looking through the chapters of your book here, and there are 21 chapters.
It's not written yet, by the way.
Oh, it's not written yet. Okay, because
nope.
Okay.
That's a whole other stressful story.
Don't let me stress you. Well, because I'm looking at the chapters, and I'm thinking she covered all of these in some form or other. You basically touched on almost all of this.
Did I? Because I have not been looking at the chapters.
Well,
I just know that they're inside. You know, they basically they need to be written all out, but they're all in there.
You exude it. Well, where do people go to learn more about you and to hear more about what you speak? I mean, tell me you're out there that people get to learn more from you, other than the one-on-ones. So tell us how we get a hold of you on that.
Yeah, my goal, actually, right before I got pregnant, was when I was doing the radio and when I was putting this book together. And the honest to God truth is, I actually had a book deal with HarperCollins, with Judith Regan. We were getting this book out, and then I was going to promote the book on the radio. My way to try to reach the masses, which is what I wanted to do, because the one-on-one is wonderful. Don't get me wrong. It's my client base, and I love everyone I work with. But I feel where I get frustrated is I feel I come home and I go, wow, I helped 2 people today. As opposed to I helped 2,000 or however many listeners or people could read the book, right? And
right.
So my way to do this was to get the book written and then promote it through the radio and actually use the book as my channel to really get out there so that people have something to go through and go to. And then I wanted to actually create a radio show around the book so people could call in, because call-ins are my passion. Like right now, I'd give anything if people could be calling and saying, this happened, that happened, this happened, because that's my passion. Like the way you are with what you're doing, it's like I want people to call in one-on-one and tell me and be able to have access, that it's just not going to cost them any money. And so, anyways, the book, long story short, I got pregnant and everything just, again, I was shocked and I was in survival stress mode. And so I wasn't really able to focus on that because I had to put all of my energy into manifesting a healthy pregnancy and a healthy child.
Well, and obviously that's where your energy needed to go, and in some way you and I both know that the path is enhanced and that somehow you'll be able to help even more people by having gone through this. And by the way, if this helps at all, I know and you know that so many of the people that you do help are doing so many good things out there
in the
world, and they bring joy. And so they touch, at the moment at least, the not just thousands, but tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, because of you. So you're
well,
out there
you.
Doing it.
That was my primary thought when I started working with celebrities and powerful people. I thought, well, if I can get them to a certain mindset, then it could actually reflect out that way, and they could be more powerful, more positive influences, you know? And
right.
That was definitely, you know, it's funny you said about the pregnancy, because it's 21 chapters now, but it's going to be 22, and the, actually, no, it'll be 21, 22 will be God Bless Your Stress, because that's the end, but what'll change to 21 is baby stress.
Okay.
That's definitely something I just learned about that's definitely challenging. So Mark knows that. He's learning.
Yes.
Is he shaking his head, yes?
Yes, he is, and he's you know, he's actually really good at not passing on that stress to any of us. So
that's good.
We appreciate it. But, you know, the only thing that I'm regretting at this moment is that I didn't get my de-stressing hug from you today.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, I think Mark's going to give it to you.
No, that does just, everybody go to the website at Life Changes Filippo, look at Mark, and look at Denise.
He's powerful, trust me.
What do I mean? What I mean is, look at Denise and look at what she has brought to us today, and thank you so much.
You
have just changed the energy of so many people that are listening in, and I just know that people are going to be eating carrots, sleeping more, and taking vitamins, and I hope they listen to this over and over again. It'll be available on our website, because this is how people can get embody this. And where do you have a website that they can go to now, to or a blog or something they can start?
I do not.
Okay. Well, we're going to
very I really need to go in that direction. I do.
Well, you're really busy, and I don't want to stress you out, but you need to have a blog.
I'm getting stressed about the blog now. Oh, my God. But, no, I actually want to say thank you for letting me come on the show tonight and be able to at least get to have hopefully helped whoever listened.
Absolutely.
That makes me feel great. Like I said, it makes me feel like I at least got more than two people done today.
You did. You did.
Good.
So
right.
Thank you, Denise Martel,
thank
and we look
so
forward
much.
To the next time. We'll do it soon.
Yes, and you're going to come to Malibu, right?
I'd love it. I hear your home is so beautiful. I look forward
to
it.
So we're going to do it from right up front the ocean here and get the positive ions as well.
It's a plan. And the hug. Don't forget the hug.
And the, big hugs. Big hugs.
Okay. Well, big hug
to
right
all
back
of you.
Bye.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Hi, Denise.
Good night, Denise.
Thank you.
Good night, Mark. Take care. I'll see you soon.
See you soon. Bye.
Yes. Bye.
Well, Mark is actually up next. It's Mark Skelton, who is going to be doing the luminary list for this evening. And as if Denise isn't a luminary enough. Who do you got for us today?
Well, Denise made my life very easy. So, Denise Martel, congratulations.
That would work.
It's now time for Dorothy's spot. Now, on a more serious note, there was a story in the Boston Globe this week, and it's a very powerful story, and the luminaries of this week are not one single individual, but a team of individuals, actually a team of iron workers, known as Local 7. They're based in Boston, and they've been doing amazing, amazing work, really offering prayers for so many young children who are suffering from cancer, all forms of cancer. And just to put it into perspective, there's a building being built called the Yorkie Center, and it's just opposite the Dana Farber Cancer Institute, and that's in Boston. And what happens is every day, as the young cancer patients are coming into the hospital, they write their names on a piece of paper, and then the piece of paper are shown to the iron workers across the street, and they spray paint in beautiful colors like pinks and greens and reds and vibrant colors, and they spray paint the name of the individual patient on the I-beam, and then the I-beam is lifted and put into the construction. And like I say, it truly is, and
wow.
This is thanks to Dorothy, offering
wow.
a prayer, you know, to the heavens. It's like, you know, you're writing it down, which, as we know, is very important, and then putting it into a structure and sending it up up into the sky. And what happens is the children are notified, and there's a beautiful example of this young girl. Her name is Kristen Hohenschel, and she's 18 months old, and she has a rare and aggressive form of cancer, and it's a tumor behind one of her eyes. And basically, her cousin, who knew about this, surprised her, and when the beam was just ready to go up and just about to be put in place, they took Kristen to the window and said, "Look, your name." And she read it, and she smiled, and it was the first time she smiled in a long time.
Wow.
And it really lifted everybody's heart. And they're doing this literally every single day. And these guys are real luminaries, and they're bringing joy into the hearts of these young children who are going through unimaginable stress and unimaginable suffering. And they are very courageous young souls, and obviously we send them lots of healing, love, and all beautiful energy. But ultimately, the luminaries here, apart from the patients, who obviously are courageous souls, the actual iron workers, who I know it's not their first time, they did it before, but they're doing it as we speak. And so congratulations, guys. Keep doing the work. It's really powerful stuff, and more power to you.
Thank you, Mark. I wouldn't have known about that. So thank you, Mark Skelton, for bringing us the luminary list this week.
You're welcome.
And a beautiful list indeed. Well, next we have our very own Dorothy Lee, who is our cosmic advisor with the State of the Universe Address. This has become a very popular segment on our show and at our live events, actually. We've only had one so far, but she had the whole crowd go up to her afterwards and connected with what she had to say. So I look forward to what she has to say tonight.
Hi. Tonight I want to talk to you about how you can see and get a very good state of the universe picture by watching TV. I never thought that I would be able to suggest to you that you can learn a lot about what is really going on in the world by watching a primetime TV drama series. Yes, I know that there are primetime news shows, but these do not always or even very often show truth. They show bias and often what the world governments want us to see and believe. They sell us fear and program us with negativity and rarely offer solutions. And then there are the documentaries, and they are often fear-based and not factual. So I'm very pleasantly surprised and pleased to tell you that primetime drama is offering us must-see TV. TV that can change your life and the way you see your role in it. One example of this is a relatively new show called The Philanthropist, which is a drama inspired by a real-life billionaire, Bobby Sager. I had never heard of Mr. Sager until I found the TV show, which is modeled after him and his work around the world. Some of the taglines for the show are, "It's a global adventure that will take you to the ends of the earth and will also inspire you." "A rebel with a cause. Making his fortune was easy. Giving it away will be the hard part." "He can have whatever he wants, but he just wants to help." I was amazed at how much I enjoyed the pilot and wanted to talk about the show right away, but thought it would be better if I saw a few more episodes to see if the rest of the shows would be as inspiring as the first one. After all, the first episode of The Medium made me hope the truth was finally going to be shown about the afterlife and the contact that can be made and is made between the ones who have crossed over and those of us who have contracted to be mediums, that is, translators for the, quote, dead, unquote. The first episode had the medium assisting a small child find his way home to the light after the medium had discovered that he was stuck here in the third dimension. However, after this beautiful pilot, they made the ghosts angry, bloody, and very threatening beings, and the shows began to be filled with more and more blood and guts. So after that experience, I patiently waited to see if The Philanthropist was going to follow this pattern. I had already done my research on the man the show is inspired by, and his story is awesome and amazing, and the real truth would make a great movie as well as a valuable television series. As I mentioned in the beginning of this address, the TV show is very loosely based on the real billionaire, Bobby Sager. a man I'd never heard of. Instead of telling the real and very exciting story of a man and his family traveling the world, giving of their time and resources to help change the world, the TV version made the hero, Teddy Rist, a cross between James Bond and Bill Gates. Now, I understand that in order to keep the average person glued to the show that they are watching instead of simply channel surfing, that sex and drama are good ways to do this. In spite of the added drama and intimated sex, each episode so far provides us with much valuable information as to what is going on in some of the most dangerous parts of the world. Although very few of us have the money to bribe our way past government red tape, as the hero of this show does, we can do what he and his family do in real life, and that is to step out of our complacency and our ignorance of what is happening to millions of people across the globe. The following statement comes from the Real Philanthropist website. 10 years ago, entrepreneur turned full-time philanthropist Bobby Sager, along with his wife Elaine, daughter Tess, and son Shane, made the decision to pack up their things and venture out into some of the most dangerous places on the planet to make a difference. It quickly became a journey less about giving than really living, looking people in the eye, feeling their humanity, and connecting with them on a level they never thought possible. Or, as Bobby puts it, this became the greatest return on investment imaginable. And while their philanthropic bar is exceptionally high, focused on empowering local leaders and expecting real and measurable results, their hands-on, eyeball-to-eyeball style is one they hope will resonate the loudest, because it is exactly these moments of deep and unexpected human connection that have kept them returning to places again and again 10 years after their journey first began. So please, dear friends, watch this show. And when you find a cause that resonates with you and your mission and purpose, find a way to assist those in need. The first 3 full episodes are available for you to see. So for more information on this amazing man and the TV show, go to our website, www.lifechangeswithfilippo.com, and click on to Life Changing Media, and you will find links that will show you ways to participate in changing the world. Until next week, please choose to love yourself enough to make very conscious and elegant choices. And please know that you are loved, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Wow. And yet another luminary, too. Thank you, Dorothy Lee, for that. And thank you, everyone. Once again, the show goes so quickly. We'd like to thank Denise Martel for being such a wonderful guest on our show tonight. Go to our website to learn more about her. And we look forward to our next guest. Next week, we'll have Kevin Lewis, who is a life coach, the minister, and a newly published author. His book, coming out, The Road to Unconditional Love, is changing the way we approach, deprogram, and heal everyone from the dogmatic teachings which society imposes upon romantic relationships. It's a show not to be missed, I'm certain of it. Remember, you can keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us at our website at lifechangesfilippo.com, and connect with us at our Life Changes with Filippo Facebook fan page, or for that matter, any of our personal Facebook pages. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems. Change your water, change your life, and Love and Miracles. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being serviced by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, along with our segment hosts, Dorothy Lee, and our show producers, Mark Skelton, John Snow, and Mark Leger, and Seth, our engineer, thank you for being us, in joining us in being part of this show and part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we graciously embrace the ultimate.